Well, good afternoon to everyone. Happy Feast of Trumpets. Wow. Do we need a sermon still? That was remarkable. Remarkable. I just have so many memories, so many flashbacks, right, when you hear those words. And boy, won't it be powerful. Isn't it something just to hear that? It gets goosebumps listening to all that. And it was just wonderful. I know all the work that goes into it. So I wanted to take an extra minute just to thank the choir and Andy, because I know they won't toot their own horn. But I wanted to make sure that we mention how much – are we awake? Okay. I want to make sure they know how much we appreciated that, and it was really, really a special thing. So I already had several requests this afternoon that some people said, make sure it's short, make sure it's funny, make sure it's short and funny if preferable. So I'm going to try to accommodate. Any other requests, just bring them up, and we'll try to satisfy. I know it's tough. Then he mentions there's food afterwards, so now you're thinking about the chicken that's to come and everything. So hopefully I can do my best to keep you awake, because I know it's difficult. We've had so much food. Someone mentioned to me as well, they said if you take all the people who sleep at church and lay them end to end, they'll be a lot more comfortable. So we might... Hopefully we don't get to that spot, but we'll see. We'll see how things play out. Well, Mr. Creech did me a favor this morning. He said that Feast of Trumpets is just like there's really not a lot you can say, right? It's one where we don't have a lot of extra instruction or even symbolism when the holy days are laid out in Leviticus 23. But I want to go through a couple of things, or hopefully that'll be a little bit of a different take this afternoon on the Feast of Trumpets, this day that is God's holy day. You know, I think it's important to always remember that. This is God's holy day. We are commanded to be here. It's not some other group or some other festival that's brought on by a man. No, this is God's day, right? God's holy day. And it's just that song is going to play in well to what I want to speak about. It is a day of great joy. Unbelievable joy, right? We rejoice, and those words were just so fitting for what I want to speak about this afternoon. So turn with me, if you would, to Leviticus in the 17 minutes I have remaining. Leviticus. Now you're going to hold me to it. Leviticus 23. It was all good, though. I mean, all the way from the opening prayer to the songs. I mean, just inspiration of God and the Spirit. What we learned today, I will say it was amazing, too. I thought that format was wonderful to hear more interactive thoughts, ideas about God's Word. We cannot go wrong when we're in God's Word, we're exploring God's Word, and we're learning God's Word together. And hopefully we do that this afternoon. We're here to explore together, right? God's Word, and to learn together. So look at Leviticus 23, if you would. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. That's really what we find. No customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. That's about all we read in trumpets. But it's interesting when you look at that phrase, a blowing of trumpets, and if you were to look that word up in the Hebrew, it's, I'll always give the number first, it's 8643, and the word is teruah. It actually means a blast or a shout. A shout or a blast of war, alarm, or joy. And it comes from the word, the root word ruah. Makes sense, right? It comes from the root ruah, means clamor, acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially clang of trumpets as an alarm, joy, jubilee, a loud noise, rejoice, shouting. Really, a shout is what's really the original Hebrew. When you look at this, Barnes commentary says it literally means shouting. There is no mention of trumpets in the Hebrew text of the law in connection with that day. All right, now, no change of doctrine. Before you start texting home office, I know it's the Feast of Trumpets. I'm reading what Barnes is saying here, right? He's saying if you look at the literal word, it is shouting, a day of shouting is what is literally talked about here. However, there is no reason, I'm reading from Barnes, to doubt the tradition that the day was distinguished by a general blowing of trumpets, and that the kind of trumpets generally used was the curved horn of an animal used in Sinai. You remember that when God came and the commandments were given in Exodus 19, and on the day of Jubilee, atonement in Leviticus 25. It must have been different from the ordinary festival of the new moon when the long straight trumpet of the temple was also blown, Numbers 10, blown at the beginning of each month. And you probably know as well, Trumpets is the only holy day that's on the first month of God's calendar year. There's no other holy day that's on the first day. So you would always have a blowing of trumpets as well. And if you go to the Young's literal translation, it is a memorial of shouting. A memorial of shouting. A day of shouting. You say, why is he shouting? Right? It is a day of shouting. So I want to make the connection because I want to give you a couple examples. In the Bible, there's connections between shouting and trumpets. Sort of interesting, because if we went to the literal Hebrew on this day in Leviticus 23, that's what you would find. It's a shout. Now, whether it's a shout of alarm, or joy, or war, different things are used. What a blessing. We have this full hall, the music, the people, the signers, and I have to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I gotta do that once, cause she's just you're welcome. I'm sorry, I looked over and I saw you there. Waiting until she finishes that word. Okay. Alright. But there's many connections with shouting and trumpets, and I want to go through that, and we're going to come to a culmination of this day we're looking forward to, and you're going to find those two things are connected at the very end as well. So turn with me, if you would, to start out to Joshua 6. Let's go to Joshua 6. And when I said we learn, we explore, we grow together in God's Word, it's interesting. Until I was really given this assignment, you think about trumpets, you look at a root word and it says shouting, and where do we go from here, right? So we're exploring God's Word together. And it's interesting because how much more has God put in His Word that we haven't even figured out? We haven't uncovered. We don't know, right? And it's exciting to explore and exchange ideas and say, you know, I read this, I saw this, you know, that's what I feel that we do when we come here. We let God's Spirit work and through His Word. And that's why we explore His Word. Look at Joshua 6. Now we know this story well. We do it in all our youth classes, right? The story of Jericho, going into the promised land, the city was shut up. And I was worried about that today. We had so many people circling the building because it was so nice. And I said, if we get trumpets and people get loud here, the church hall might be gone, right? And I'm like, this is really ironic. But anyways, it was so beautiful. So I stopped through and laughed when I came inside. But if you read Joshua 6, right, in verse 1, the city of Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel went out and none came in. So they were secure. They didn't want anything to happen here because they knew of Israel, right? And the Lord said to Joshua, verse 3, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. You shall do it 6 days. The seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Note verse 5. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. Same word we read in Leviticus 23. It's a memorial of shouting. Shouting with trumpets. And you realize trumpets the most referenced instrument in the Bible, by far. Trumpets, great significance. Top 5 answers are on the board behind me. You guys know, now we're not going to go there. But trumpets is number 1. Right, referenced a lot in Scripture. And it says, for the people with a great shout and trumpets, and guess what happened? Great things of God happened. Right? And I think we heard this earlier when we talk about, you know, sometimes there is a shout. God is big and bold and there's rejoicing and there's joy. Can you imagine? This is what God wanted them to do. And I can't even picture, sometimes you got to step back in this sea of humanity that would have circled, the shout that would have made. Right? When I've been to certain sporting events, since Mr. Creech opened the door, I can have my 30 seconds of talking sports as well. You go to a game and you hear that collective roar that goes up from the crowd. It's goosebump, right? It's powerful in unison, right? That's what we're talking about in this example. Let's go to another example. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 15. 2 Samuel 6. This was another well-known story with the ark and the movement of the ark. The ark had been taken by the Philistines, and David very desperately wanted to have the ark come back to Israel, to Jerusalem specifically. And so the 2 Samuel 6 is a story about David going to get the ark. You have the piece in here of Uzzah. Again, side note, he touched the ark. Lessons there, right? But now David has the ark. They're transporting it back. It had stayed at the home of Obed-Edom in verse 11 for 3 months. God had blessed him for doing that. But now David very desperately wanted the ark and God and his presence. He wanted that back in Jerusalem. Right? In verse 13, so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And so David, in verse 15, and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting. Same word in Leviticus 23, a day of shouting, great rejoicing, and the sound of trumpets. Those two go together. Silly me for not seeing this much earlier, right? But now all of a sudden you start looking through the Bible and you say, there's shouting, there's rejoicing. And sometimes it's a cause for alarm and war, as we saw with Jericho. Here it's a great rejoicing because God was going to reside once again back in Israel, back in Jerusalem. Right? And there's other side stories in here in chapter 6 that I won't get to with, you know, but the main point I want to drive home is this was a time of great celebration, great shouting, trumpets, great rejoicing that took place. Let's look at Psalms 47. Psalms 47 and verse 5. Well, let's read a little bit. It's a short book here. I still have 14 minutes. So let's go to Psalms 47 and verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to the Lord, shout to God with a voice of triumph, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us. Sometimes if you want to read something about God and feel exalted and know who God is, read Psalms 47. He will subdue the peoples under us and all the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, who he loves. God has gone up with a shout. Same word in Leviticus 23. God has gone up. You read many commentaries, they say it is in reference to that ark going up back to Jerusalem. Or it's God going back, ascending back into the heavens, right? But God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Something very majestic, something holy, something very connected between a shout and a trumpet for God. So you're saying, okay, I see there's a couple verses on this. What does this have to do with today? So let's fast forward into the future, because it's interesting because, again, we are at that holy day. We're right, the first ones we've already passed. We're about the first coming of Jesus. We're into that holy day season now. Everything's about the second coming. And to me, it's wildly exciting because we have a book and we haven't seen this piece of the movie yet, right? We haven't seen it. We know and we love and we read so much about Jesus and his first coming and all the things he did and all the sacrifices and what he did for mankind and died for our sins and all our holy days up to that point. We rehearse those and we take great comfort in those and we know he died for us and we have the unleavened bread that's putting out sin and having his spirit live in us. And then that powerful day in Acts 2 when God's spirit came and Pentecost, all those things, right? Give us strength and bolden us in our faith. But now we're into that chapter that's not quite, it's there, but we don't know how it really plays out yet. Right? So there's something powerful in this about shouts and trumpets because in the future, we're going to see that again on this day. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know, we read this at funerals. You read this, and it should give us great hope, what Paul is writing here, right? I'm sure it gave the brethren hope 2,000 years ago, and hopefully it fills us with great hope today as we sit here. Because if you read verse 13 of chapter 4, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. It's such a foundational thing sometimes. I think we were talking at lunch, we have so many things that we just somehow we know, we take for granted sometimes. Even the comment Mr. Cobb had about the spirit and man, the spirit of God, it's just so beautiful. Seems almost to us, we can almost trip past it, but it's such a beautiful understanding of God and His Word. And He says, Paul says here as well, if we do not believe that Jesus did not die and rise, when why are we here? We have no hope, right? We take great comfort in that, even though that's bantered around today. It's like, I don't know about that, right? In Paul's time, it was that way too. There were many things he had to dispel because some people felt that Jesus wasn't the Christ. He didn't come. He didn't die. He didn't rise again. Right, so there's great hope. He says, because that did happen, we know we will live again. We know that. We take great comfort in that. And because of that, verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those of you who have been here 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, how many times have we read these verses? Hopefully they still ring true and give us hope and comfort and encouragement and excitement. When will it happen? The Father knows. The Father knows. We know. We know this happens. And in verse 16, what happens on this day? For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Right? With a shout. If you look at that shout in the Greek, it's a command, like a commander would give. Can you imagine our Savior, the Word, coming down with a shout, with an army, with His commands? That is going to be quite a shout. Right? On this day that we picture. He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. A shout, and with the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Again, majesty, a shout, because He's back. He's commander. He's in charge. He's coming to rule. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And all thus we will always be with the Lord. Again, can't fully wrap our head around that concept, can we? Right? And we're in a situation where we see sometimes so removed from our Lord. He says, we'll always be. And what do? Therefore, comfort. Comfort one another. That's where our focus is. When that time comes, when He comes, we will be with Him. What a wonderful thing. You would think wonderful for everyone. Right? Look at Revelation 1 in verse 8. Revelation 1. Can you imagine something better than that? Unbelievable. We've waited. Right? We have waited. We've wanted. We've hoped. We've talked. We've tried to figure it out. Tried to put the puzzle pieces together. Tried to speed things up. We want this day. Right? When He comes back with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God. Look what it says in Revelation 1 in verse 7. Behold, He is coming. We just read that, right? With clouds. Every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will also be very excited to see Him. No, what are they going to do? They're going to mourn. That word mourn is to lament and to beat yourself, to cut off, almost like to sever your arm, to lament and wail and moan. Another loud shout, is it not? Then most of mankind will have a different type of shout. They will not be excited to see Him. When I read this verse, I hearken back to my childhood. And I don't know if anyone else had this experience, years of therapy, it's getting a little bit better. But there were times when I would be at home and my mom would say, I guess it was too much, right? We had reached the breaking point, she couldn't deal anymore, and she said, wait till your father gets home. And that was not like a good thing, like when I got home we were going to have some good quality time together. No, that was sort of like, no, this is going to end in a bad way. And it was really bad when I think back because it was a bad judicial system when you think about it. Because she was like the foreman of a one-person jury, right? So when my dad walked in, and then so what happens is you start living your life again. You start to forget, right? And it's sort of like, you stay with me, like the world right now, right? You started like live, we can figure this thing out, right? And you're doing okay. And then the door opens. And dad's home. And the one person jury hands over what happened during the day. Right? There's no, I didn't even get a public defendant. I should have had like a teacher or someone who could have like stood up for my character. And it's like, I should have had something for time served, all right? So anything, even a juror of my peers, like my siblings would have helped out. There was none of that, right? As soon as that, they just talked quickly, then the judge came right over, and we had immediate, swift justice, right? And I think about that and how that worked and how that played out. It was because you were either going to mourn and have a certain lament, are you going to shout for joy depending upon your relationship with God? Right? On those days when my mom said, all right, you just wait till your dad gets home. I was in Revelation 1 verse 8. Right? I wasn't happy to see him coming in. Right? But if I had cut the grass, I had done certain things, I had done all, and my dad rolled up, I was in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Right? There was great joy. It was good to see him at that point. How could you have two very different reactions to the same event? Right? I remember reading earlier this year the tragedies that happened down in Texas, and I'll leave it at that, that there were children there that said they were so excited and joyful when they heard that the police were there. Right? Overjoyed. When they heard sirens and things coming. I bet one person didn't have that same reaction, right? Depends what your relationship is with those people or whoever was showing there, what your relationship as a child with your parent, what our relationship is with God as well when he returns with a shout, with a blast to come and reign eternal, right? It's interesting. And I think about that, and I say, we don't ever know where we're going to be in this sequence of time when he returns, whether I'll be alive, whether we'll raise from the dead. But I think it's interesting, and I had to ask myself this question, what if Jesus came right now and showed up? What if he came now? What would be that shout that would come out of me, right? Would it be terribly frightened? Terribly frightened. A little too much guilt. Or would I fall down with inexpressible joy at his return? Right? It depends where we are in that relationship. Where we are, right, drives all that. And if we think about this day, and that's why I said that special music was extremely powerful. It's a beautiful piece of music because it's taken from Scripture. I entitled this message, A Day to Shout for Joy. Right? That's what it should be for all of us sitting here as sons and daughters of God. It should be that kind of day. There should be no doubt about it that we would be in that spot and have that reaction. Turn with me to Revelation 15. It's interesting. This is from the song itself. Revelation 11. Revelation 11 and verse 15. This is the seventh angel sounding. And if you read, you know, you go back to Revelation 8 and verse 1 and the sequence, you don't have to turn there, but it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Now, when I was a young boy growing up, I heard that it was because there was no women in heaven. But I don't know if that's entirely correct, but I think now as I study that more, that silence in heaven for half an hour, that's when all of the seven angels are going to sound, and there's some really difficult things. I think that's the culmination of time. Can you imagine the sobriety? silence as that was going to unfold. And those events that have been out there since for eternity are now going to play through. I mean, all the players, just the gravity of that, right? And we come through all that devastation like we even heard about in the sermonette, right? And we come to the seventh trump, though. That final trump. Go to Revelation 11 and verse 15. We read that. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven. Again, loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Sometimes it's good just read that and let it soak in. Finally, and the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. Right? The victory that is to come. The nations were angry. We just talked about that, right? They mourned. They did not want him back. They did not want rulership from him. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time of the dead, that they should be judged. A lot of things are going to happen now when he comes back and takes over again. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. Put yourself in there. Right? That he is coming back with a reward for us as his sons and daughters. Right? That's a powerful thing. And those who fear your name, small and great, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. How would we respond if he came back today? How would we feel if he was there? We talked about that today. It's about, we don't know. Boy, do we want this to come. If it could, we know there's things prophetically where it can't. If it came tomorrow, what would be our shout? How would we feel? I think it's interesting sometimes you get that initial response. Like sometimes I'll sneak up my wife in the kitchen and she'll turn around. It's sort of fun. She's fine. But she turns around and she just lets out this scream and she jumps halfway off the floor and she wants to kill me, and then we get, it dies down after 5 minutes. But it's your initial response. Remember when God told Sarah that she was going to have a baby and she laughed. I think there's so much humor in that situation because God looks, he looks over to Abraham. Why'd your wife laugh? Right? You know, there's no response from Abraham. Like we talked this morning, at certain questions when it comes to like, should I wear this or not wear this or how does it make me look? You can't respond. There's no response from Abraham there, right? And then Sarah says, no, I didn't laugh. And God says, no, but you did. It's that first response, right? If we're true with ourselves, we'd say, where am I sitting today? And this is not, believe me, I want this to be a day of to shout for joy. It should be it's a very positive thing. We are children of God. So my question for the few minutes I have left is, what should we be doing as God's children before this last trump sounds? What should we be doing? Because it's a wonderful day. It's a day to shout for joy. Right? It's a day of great joy, great rejoicing. And I think about when you think about trumpets all through, even if you said in Exodus 19, trumpets is when, you know, when a trumpet sounds in this situation, is yeah, you're not scrambling, you're not going back to get a couple things, can you hang out for a second? God's calling us to Him, to be with Him. Like He said, He's going to come and we will be with Him forever. That whole thing about being in the holy presence of the Great One, right? That's what these trumpets, when you hear that, it's a calling in of His. Those who are there, those who want to be before Him, those who have walked with Him, who have kept the faith. And He's coming and He says, I come to be with you and to give you a reward. Does it get better than that, right? Does it get better than that? But how do we want to feel? What's that knee-jerk reaction if I said He was coming tomorrow, right? How would I feel? How would you feel? How should we feel? Right? What do we do in this situation? I just want to go to a couple quick things here at the end. Turn with Hosea. Turn to Hosea if you would. For those of you keeping score at home, you would have heard this verse. We don't go to it very often. A very powerful verse. This was Mr. Schneider used this in his message on Sabbath. Very much appreciated that. You know, we enter this, I said, this very special time. I think about when Jesus came on earth and those who knew him. But now he says, you know what? I'm going to come and you're going to tabernacle with you. I want to be with you. We're going to dwell together forever, right? And that's a really special time where it's a preparation to take place before we can dwell with the Holy One. Right? Look what it says here. What should we be doing now? Sow for yourself righteousness. Plant righteousness. Spend time doing the right thing, following God. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, those areas that we have let go too long. Boy, we think back a year, 2 years ago, we don't have certain people sitting with us anymore. Death. I'll just stay with death. Time changes. Life goes on. We don't have. This is our time. We've heard that before. We know that. Things happen to young people as well. This is life. He says, break up ground that once produced something, but now is dead. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Time is now to do those things. It's a very special time, and we know there's traditions. I know the Jewish people do things, the 10 days of awe, and it's repentance and forgiveness towards people and reconciliations and looking at our relationships. And it all makes sense, because if we want to go to the Holy Mountain with the Eternal One, we've got to be worthy of being in his presence. We don't do that. Believe me. Trust me. I hope you don't hear me incorrectly. It's not our strength. It's not our might. It's not our willpower. It's his Spirit dwelling in us that draws us to him, that we want to do these things, that we can even be in his presence forever. I'll go to one last thing, one last set of one scripture here at the end as we conclude. I want to go back to Nehemiah. Something that was found, something that was written on, guess what, the first day of the seventh month. It was on the Day of Trumpets where this took place, so I thought it was fitting that we would take a few minutes and look at this. Nehemiah. You know this. This is when many of the people from captivity came back to Jerusalem. There were so many things that were lost, as you can imagine. They went into captivity. God's law, so many things that were lost over time. And now a great almost reawakening, a rededication. Even think of yourself in this sense. At different times of the year, we step back, we take time out. God, sometimes you think about these holy days, right? We have trumpets, and we get atonements, and we get the feast, and we get the eighth day. In a very compact period of time, we get so much time to take time out. Time out. Reflect. Pause. What am I choosing? How am I living? How are my relationships? Where is God? So many things. It's a beautiful time of year. Right? So then when he comes back with that blast, it is a day of shouting for joy for all of us. Look what it says here in Nehemiah chapter 8. They had found the book of the law in verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. It was trumpets, right? Feast of Trumpets. They opened the law that had been lost for so long. And maybe in our lives it's been lost a little bit too much here and there along the way. Maybe it hasn't been exactly where it needs to be, right? So today's a day of rededication, right? Relooking, reconsidering. Then he read it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday before the men and women who could understand, and those who could understand in the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. I just want to take a second there and say attentive. How is my spiritual hearing, right? We're going to hear so many things in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, I know, but I've heard a lot of that. I understand that. I get that. Not really for me. Not really. You know what? I've been there. It's easy to get there. We can all sort of go into that spot. But in God's word that is dynamic and true, there's something to be pulled out. You may still be searching in this message, but there is something to be pulled out in everything that God has inspired to be brought to us. Right? Their ears were very, very attentive. Right? It's good to consider at this time of year, how attentive am I? What is my learning? Is my heart being changed? Because when that happens, as we know in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says God's word will go right through us, piercing all the way through, and it changes us. That's what we want. It's not an academic to say, okay, I'm going to listen, I'm going to read, I'm going to do a... No, it needs to change. It needs to soften us. Our relationships look different. So there is less of us. So there's less animosity, less agenda, less, right? So we get to that spot where God's word is churning and changing and creating something beautiful because their ears were attentive. If you're attentive, you got to be able to take some of that tough news and say, you know what? Yeah, that's tough. Or there's something I've heard before, but what else is there for me to learn? Do I have ears that are there that want to learn? It's an attentiveness that was done here because these people realized the importance of God's word. Just a couple other things to note here. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people in verse 5, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. I've seen different preachers do that on TV, and the first time I saw them, I thought it was pretty powerful. The first verse they went to, they stood up. Reverence. You know, it's easy because we got this Bible here, and it can lay around, it can lay there, but how am I really treating the word? Because there's other good books I can read to as well, and I've heard these other interesting articles that are pretty interesting as well. Is this number one still? Is there reverence? Is there reverence to what is said here? Do I treat it that way? Do I treat it like this is, do I go here as my first stop? My first stop when something comes up where I know I heard a good TED Talk. Right? And there are good TED Talks. I just throw that out because I do like them. There's things to be gained. But they can't trump. There's a reverence here because the Eternal One has put eternal words here that we live by. Right? We stop and we line up with that. That happened on the Day of Trumpets. Look at verse 10. And they were sorrowful because they wept and they mourned in verse 9 because they probably saw the separation of where they were and where God's words were and how they had let it all go. And that's a good thing for us too as well sometimes to step back and mourn and lament and say, God, help me to have more reverence. Help me to put the right focus on your word. Let it burn deep in me. That's why I love what we said today. I think we need to do more of that where we talk and we share and we understand. This is a walk that we need to walk with each other. It's not an easy walk. But it's a walk in God's way and His Word that we are strengthened to the core for whatever comes before that final shout and that trumpet blast that we don't know about. In verse 10, and He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. And I think we've seen that, we heard it this morning. We have different programs here again. But again, it's that mindset of giving away, looking for others, relationships, ways to serve. And I think we have such a great giving, loving, outgoing congregation. We need to continue to grow in that. Continue to grow. Look for ways for those who aren't there. Again, we're in a season of the year where there's, how many times have my wife and I have done that? It's been my fault. She's brought an idea. I said, boy, we should have done that earlier before the feast. We could have helped somebody out with that. Right? Thinking about that for those who haven't had something prepared. Right? All through the year. Are we more in tune? Guess what? We don't get in tune unless we spend time. Unless we spend time, we get to know, we share, we understand. Whether it's a hug, whether it's a card, whether anything. But He's saying give to those, right? They understood that principle. And the last thing I'll point out here is, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where our strength, I heard that song, Rejoicing. We, of all people, should be people of great joy. If God is our strength. And again, believe me, I am preaching to the choir myself. I'm not in the choir. Maybe one day. But if I've had a discussion, again, I bring my wife only in the best light, because when you get to these spots, sometimes the spouse is the one that says either God is or He isn't. Right? And if we know the Lord is our strength, we have an abiding joy. We have a hope that does not be diminished, right? That joy is so powerful through the scripture, right? And we heard about the rejoicing. Rejoice when he returns. Right? So when I think back to 1 Thessalonians 4:18 or Revelation 11:15, they're really sort of hard for me to fully, I don't know, maybe you're a different spot. It's hard to fully see that day, really, because we've talked about it so long and we want it for so long, right? But that day will come, right? And we talked this past week about the pageantry of Queen Elizabeth's funeral. And I think, I'll tell you what, if nothing else, the British, they know. They know protocol. They could put on a good Passover service. There is no question about that. Nothing would be off kilter, man. I tell you, right? But throw that to the side. When Jesus Christ returns with that army, with those angels and the voices in heaven, the majesty, the pageantry that will come with that, it should give us unbelievable joy. Because he's coming with a reward. In the meantime, we don't know when that is. We don't know when that trump would come. We pray every day, thy kingdom come. And we wait. And we hope. And I've had so much encouragement because I have seen so many faithful years, people over the years just keep walking in that hope and that faith and abiding in the midst of difficult things and waiting and doing the right things. And some of the things we read here in Ezra or Nehemiah, you might read them in Ezra as well. But in Nehemiah, right, where he talks about a reverence for God and his way and being faithful. Because Jesus Christ will return. And it should be a day for us to shout for joy.